Hey, welcome to Our Altered World. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by the giant that is climate change, you're not alone. I'm Neil, and here we celebrate the inspiring work of individuals and organizations making real positive strides that you may not have heard about. My hope is for our conversations here to make you feel inspired and reconnected to our planet. And with that being said, I would love to introduce Claudia from Origins.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
How are you doing, Claudia, today?
Very well, thank you. I'm very glad enjoying this space of your time, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us as well. I met Claudia early in this year as I was working on a documentary in Costa Rica, and I came across the amazing work that she and the Lodge are doing. So I kind of want to run into this and just say, how would you best describe what Origins Eco Lodge is to our listeners?
Well, I think that it's very well received. Actually, we have been operating this lodge since 5 years. And since we started, we were looking actually to not only see the lodge as a lodging space, you know, more into educating our guests, you know, in the philosophy of being in a region which is secluded, I will say, but also very rich in nature. So, you know, it has been a journey while we are discovering together along with the guests, you know, all the magnificent things that nature provide to us. So, you know, we started by saying that our first client is nature. So we should really treat it very well, you know, and we are invitees of the nature while occupy that space. So far, it has been very well received, and it's actually very transparent in our efforts. And that's what people can perceive in the web page, for example, in our blogs, in all our communications. It's always talk about nature and eco-conscience and ecotourism.
For people that wouldn't know where you guys are located, can you give them a quick description of where you guys are in Costa Rica?
Yes, for sure. We are located in the north part of the country. That means that we are in a position of, if you are looking to the map, we are on the north facing to the Lake of Nicaragua, only 2 hours to the border of this country. So that's means really north, as people will understand, you know. So we are 1 hour and a half from Liberia Airport, which is the international airport. And a lot of our guests, they really fly into. So just to locate it in the map.
And something that you've kind of alluded to here is the beautiful views that you guys have of the lake in the distance and Panama, which is something that when I walked into the dining area, I was really beautifully surprised by, but also very taken aback because you are very built into the landscape there, aren't you?
Yes, for sure. That's amazing, this incredible view that we have. And I really, nobody will think that, you know, all that area is very, how can I say it, not with a lot of infrastructure, and give it, I guess, more pleasure in to really feel that you are totally in a very remote area. And just by looking this incredible horizon with the Lake of Nicaragua and hundreds of, you know.
It's something that I really noticed on the drive up, that when we were going through that, I was like, oh, wow, we're actually just in the middle of the rainforest. And you wouldn't be able to tell from the road. But then you drive in, you're like, wow, they've really utilized the landscape here to immerse themselves as, like you mentioned, as an invitee, as a guest of the rainforest. I guess off the back of that, I would love to like go into the fact that tourism as an industry can have massive negative environmental impacts, but exploration and travel, that's so like innate to humans as a species. But I think we're finding more and more people seeking out sustainable and less impactful travel opportunities. Do you think this is the case? And how is that reflected in the amount of guests that you've seen and what they seek from Origins as well?
Exactly, totally. I guess, you know, year after year, I notice that there are more and more travelers that are like looking for this type of holidays, you know. It's like a double or triple purpose, not only for, you know, for relax or really find an incredible time with family, but it's also, again, you know, to really evolve into this curiosity about learning how our forests interact, or how the wildlife, you know, are preserved, and There are so many facts that we can actually learn, but at the same time having fun. Because obviously coming with your family or with your couple not necessarily really means that you have to learn, you know, like you really want to have a break and disconnect and relax. But here, the experiences that we are able to offer to our guests is really a mix of a little bit of fun, but at the same time, really enjoyed and learned. And this is our ultimate goal, is really that every single guest leaves Origins with something in their mind that later they can put it in practice. You know, wherever they go, wherever they live, they will for sure remember something about what they really learned. And that's really what we do every day.
I think that's something I definitely left with as well. It was such an impactful time. I was only there for a couple of days, but the way that you guys truly intertwine the experiences and the immersive nature of what you offer, it's something that really embeds, I think, in guests' memories. And that extends to the way that you operate as the manager, the way the staff interact with us, and their ability to really like help navigate why that particular guest might be there. And I think that's something I picked up on. I'm obviously very nature focused with my background. I came for a specific purpose. But even hearing from the wider team that were there with us, who may not have had the same knowledge and experience that I did, they all were saying such beautiful things about what they were learning and how they felt about the space, which I thought was really beautiful. Say that, how would you say that Origins contributes to a more sustainable future? Like, can you describe some of the sustainable practices implemented in your accommodation? A lot of it that I witnessed when I was there, but I think our listeners would be really excited to hear about.
Exactly. Well, Origins, it's a place where actually I have to say that we are located on premises of 111 acres. 80% of this land is really a forest on conservation. So it's basically primary and secondary forest. So obviously the rest, which is only 20%, it's built. As you said, it's built with natural materials, you know, most of them that are really local. So first of all, we start by saying this, you know, all these elements that we use, you know, and they kind of bonded with nature. It's one of our principal, you know, purposes. To show guests that we are about to, you know, to live also with incredible materials that are from the region. Obviously, we do a lot of, you know, education, not only with the workers, but also with the community. We have incredible relations with communities. All the communities are, you know, around, that surround us. You know, we help them a lot. You know, we have a incredible responsible, like social responsible program. So it's an interaction all the time, you know, and also, you know, by having waste reductions, you know, we like to, you know, the rooms are non-plastic. So that's number one priority also to reduce waste. We obviously use a lot of the, you know, recycle and reuse program as well. So we kind of separate completely all the garbage. We have, of course, with the rest of the organic things that we use in the kitchen, we have a compost. So we obviously treat our compost, you know, with our other elements that we mix to reach the soil of our garden. So, you know, it's a whole cycle where when you start that, you really want to dig more and more about how are the efforts that we need to do. Obviously, taking in consideration that reforestation is number one priority. So we reforest every year at least 500 trees, you know. And I am talking to you from a perspective of a lodge that is only 7 keys, you know, and with a maximum occupancy of 23 packs. So that says that we really are very careful, you know, and we really decide like not having more rooms, you know, because we really want to make this experience as much as personal to our guests, but also in our way to, you know, do logistics and really have this focus of take care of the nature with all these elements that I am telling you at this moment.
So would you say ecotourism is really intertwined into Origins Eco Lodge? Because this is what I'm hearing about the way that you guys operate. Would you say that that's kind of the priority to you when it comes to really, aside from the luxury aspects, I know that you want guests to come there and relax and have an amazing experience. But to me, everything you're saying really screams ecotourism, and ecotourism can be luxury, can't it? I felt like that was what you guys hit the nail on the head with when I was there. Often, I think people associate ecotourism maybe with a lot of rural-based accommodations and activities, and they think, oh, this is going to significantly impact what I'm seeking. But I know from a fact from visiting that that wasn't the case with you guys. So I'd love to kind of talk about how ecotourism and luxury work together, Origins.
Yes, for sure, Neil. This is a very, I will say, a combination that is perfect. You just need to be very creative in the way how you communicate with your guests, you know, because of course our market is a high-end market, but you know, there are special needs, you know, and that's a beauty also that we really like to go and dig and find this traveler, which is already conscious, you know, that actually they love or they want some of the comfort of the room, privacy, and you know, that's very important for them. But it's also a matter to enrich your content when you actually are selling an experience, you know. If you go out of the lodge, if you contribute to the community, you know, it's a matter of fact to tell the story of these people, you know. It's not only that you are going into a tour, which obviously you are going to have a vehicle 4x4, which is luxury with, you know, bilingual drivers. But it's, again, it's just to put a little bit of a better infrastructure, but it doesn't need to be like super, you know, like truly luxury. It's a little bit of comfort, but you need to explain the guest what is going on. Like, why are you doing this? When you visit a family in the house, when you are explaining a butterfly center, when you are going into a farm tour, you know, you just need to have those elements, which are obviously clean, hygiene, you know, all these things, but with such a care. And the guides are the one that are the ambassadors, you know, they are the one that carries all these things because they are Costa Rican people. You know, they actually live in all this within the place, you know, they have actually born in this, in these little villages. So actually they are the ones to pass over all the voice. And at the same time, the way that they communicate is educating. But again, you know, and when this is happening, the guests are actually understanding, you know, like it could be an incredible rural experience, but with truly comfort and privacy, you know, and that's those two elements we really need to take very in consideration.
I love that. And on that note, we're going to take our first break to hear from our station sponsors, and we'll be back soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Our Altered World. I'm here with Claudia from Origins Eco Lodge. So Claudia, we just spoke about how the intertwine of ecotourism with luxury really comes to a head at Origins Eco Lodge in Costa Rica. And I'd love to connect that to the education factor that we just spoke about how you guys educate your guests about environmental issues and inspire them to be more sustainable in their choices, whether that's by some of the practices that you hope that guests will walk away with to implement in their own livelihoods, or just by how you guys operate and show them that this is a really great way of utilizing the environment in a healthy and sustainable way that both could give back and benefit from.
Yeah, totally. It's really, you know, it's when guests enter and they obviously they see this view. And I think the sound of nature also contributes a lot because you are such immersed with the birds and, you know, like sloths and, you know, so people start like, you know, they kind of react more actively to those sounds and they start asking questions, you know, they start like seeing toucans, seeing while you are just having breakfast. So, you know, even if you are not a person that are attracted to birds, you are there. So you are just observing what is happening. And you know, you cannot just stay just like looking. It's really intrigue you, your curiosity. You want to learn the name of that bird. You want to see the sloth. You want to ask questions, you know. And that's exactly where the guides jump in, because they really bring the nature into your eyes. You can actually see our bees program, you know, how we cultivate the honey and how they work, how incredible and how hard they work every day when we are using the honey in our kitchen. So it really gives such a value in your life and you appreciate every day more and more the nature. Even if you walk at night and you are doing this nocturnal tour and you are doing like seeing all these frogs and suddenly, of course, there are snakes. But when you start understanding the process and the cycle of life and you understand how important are the snakes into the environment, then you know, you start comprehensive on those things. So that's opened you another perspective in your holidays day by day. And also, you know, we do a lot of experiences with the kids. And, you know, the kids now are like sponges. They are absorbing everything, what they are doing, what they are seeing, what they are smelling. So that's, you know, it turns into be like a whole discovery, I will say, of the wildlife. And you know, for us, that's kind of number one satisfaction, really.
One thing that I really noticed when I was there, it sort of intertwines with much of what you've spoken about just now, with particularly the rooms. So I'm personally not very much of a morning person. I don't always wake up in the best mood. It takes me a while to get started once I've had my coffee. But with the multiple aspects of the way your rooms are built, particularly with the light, you know, you get the sunrise, sunset views, and you're immersed in the bird calls in the morning. And it's 5 a.m, the birds are going off, and you're like, well, I'm wide awake now. But then you open your doors and you just stare out into the rainforest and the bird calls are going off. And it just, that reconnection reinvigorates you. It reinvigorated me. And I was like, oh, I can't be mad at this. It can't be mad at this. I want to know what bird's over there singing and it's lighting up my day. And then, yes, you walk down to breakfast and then you get really integrated into the foods that you're growing on the site, what the local menu is going to be. And then again, with the honey, I would love for you to just tell some of the listeners about how the bees and the operation works at Origins and how you utilize that within both your cooking and the way it works for the environment atmosphere in terms of the pollination.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we do several things, you know, into our culinary. Our culinary concept is really also back to the ancestral. Our ancestral really taught us a lot of things in the way that you should eat and the way how they are nutrients in your meal. So for us, this is also a number one priority, you know, because that's it's related also to the wellness as well. And you know, the beauty of the guests, which obviously they like to eat very well. I mean, like nice food and gourmet food. But like you said, you know, we implement our garden. So we have 2 hectares of organic soil, you know, so we learn in the process to really reach the soil. Obviously, we are located in a volcanic area, which obviously make it richer with all these minerals. And so we combine what we harvest in our garden with obviously another facts, like, for example, the bee, you know, we have 25 beehives across the property, so we obviously extract the honey, and it's a, you know, this is a not very common process because we use the Meliponians bees, which are the smallest, you know, in the world, and they, you know, they don't have the sting, so they produce minimal during 6 months only, you know, and they also produces when it's sunny. When it's like rainy, they do not produce a lot. So, you know, we actually, our biggest production will be probably 1 gallon or 2 gallons in 1 year, you know. So actually that make it more like exclusive, you know, because we really, when we bring a little cup of honey and we explain this to our guests in the morning, obviously they are intrigued to test it, you know, and to understand the medicinal facts that obviously this honey brings also to the health, you know, so they appreciate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I tried it and I got the explanation behind it, I appreciated it so much more because you really understand like the full story behind its production, the graft that the bees are going to produce
exactly.
This very small amount of honey. But then that's also applicable to everything else you guys are producing, the amount of work that actually goes into vegetable maintenance and food production. I think sometimes we get so used to things just being delivered up front to our doors or going to the supermarket and having all this available. But there's so much work that actually goes into all of these things that we're kind of getting more and more separated from, which was really nice at Origins to kind of bring that together in such a harmonious way, you know, somewhere that you can just have it as part of your experience instead of being a forceful nature to be like, this is the story of your food. It's more about, hey, like, you should come and see our beehives and learn a bit about the honey that's on your pancakes today.
Exactly, exactly. And we... That's the thing, you know, we use all these elements available our day to day, you know, even by baking, you know, the incredible bread, by walk around the garden, you know, by also like learning to how to produce our bath amenities, you know, that we produce on site. We use the ylang ylang flowers. You know, there's a process to produce your conditioner, your shampoo, your bath gel, you know, your moisturizing. So all of that, you know, is part of our program that actually people can learn, you know, and understand how, like you said, how difficult sometimes it is because we depend also on the climate. We depend on the weather as well, you know, the sun. You know, and so there's spaces that actually the guests will probably never thought about it. But if you open this to the public, you know, you open this to your guests, you are there, you engage them. They become part of the team. They become part of the lodge. They can actually walk around, ask you so many questions. And we are there, you know, we are there to help. We are there to show. And that's the beauty because when you are like touring and you are doing a sustainable tour and you smell or you touch a fruit that later the next morning, the server will come and show you this fruit that you can actually taste it. And I think that's amazing because the guests will go into all the different stages until the end, that maybe there is a mixology class and they will again using the guava that actually they saw how it was growing, they harvest, and then you use it in your cocktail. You see, so there's a lot to do with all this nature, actually. So that's
I think Origins in particular are a primary example that you don't have to compromise in this. You don't have to compromise the experience and the amenities and the food and experiences that your guests can have. Not at loss, but I would say, like, you don't have to damage the planet to produce a good experience. But I think you've spoken a lot about this as well, which I really want to tie in here with how Origin partners with and supports nearby communities. Even upon arriving, all of the people working around me and that I was introduced to, that welcomed me as a guest and did a lot of the tours, were part of the local community. And I would love for you to tell our listeners a bit about how you guys work with them and the upskilling and the learning and the implementation that takes place with Origins within the wider accommodation communities as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's for us, our human resource is our people. You know, we cannot, I mean, I can work, but I am alone and there will nothing happen, you see. So I really love my people. I have a team of 57 packs, only for 7 keys. You know, that's a lot. But again, like you said, we obviously work with our little farm. We have animals. We have our garden. We have our, you know, flowers and landscape to take care. So this is a process of being teaching, obviously, all these things, you know, because the workers come from those little villages, you know, all those communities around us. And that's our number one, always kind of mandatory thing, you know, because if you come and you create these amazing lodges, not only there, but across Costa Rica, you really support the local by engaging them, giving jobs, but also teaching them, you know. And this is our promise from them, you know, because these people, they are very enthusiastic to work and they work hard. The thing is that, of course, they will never thought about working in a luxury hotel, right? So you need to have the tools. You really need to have the compromise to teach them and go through all this time. So I am super proud of just, you know, being with my team. There are workers that they have been since the construction. So not only learning how to build the rooms, which are very different to the normal standards rooms, but also contribute later in the kitchen or in the garden or taking care of the animals, you know. So actually, for me, I have to say the number one compromise with the sustainability is really engaging your workers in a radar of 10 kilometers, you know, from your lodge. So actually every day we learn together, every day we try to, as much as possible, like to have this culture, you know, to have this culture in the lodge, you know, because it's also Costa Rican traditions, you know, and I work with all these people that, you know, they teach me how, you know, how they do their fresh cheese, you know, the bread, the tortilla. And actually this also goes to the guests, you know, even the cafe chorreado, you know, which is a typical tradition to show how they serve the coffee and why they serve it there. So, you know, we contribute a lot and we contribute also with the suppliers, you know, because one thing is my workers and then the other thing is the suppliers. So maybe we work like with 50 suppliers in the region that actually we have to teach them how to do the box lunches, you know, like the packaging, you know, and we have a lot of other suppliers that they obviously do things for Origins, but I have to say that it's a passion to invest your energy also with these people, but at the same time is your reward, you know. There's not other incredible reward than seeing your people learning. And now, for example, my cookers are beautiful chefs. I have to say, you know, they work hard, they are super talented, and they comes from there.
I think with the way that Origins operates, there's a real sense of ownership by the workers of the lodge because of that deep sense of integration. There's no form of separation between us and them. It's a we that I felt walking in. It's a family. It's right. Such a deep sense of pride within the Origins community. And one thing that I was beautifully impressed by was the knowledge, the deep scientific knowledge that a lot of your work has had about the environment and the species and how they were actively contributing, or how birds would be migrating in and out while you're losing certain species, what you guys are planting. And it was beautiful, even as a scientist, to continually be educated by people who may, from the outside of the community, be really an unexpected resource. And I'm like, well, they're living and they're working in it. They know it better than anyone else. And they're seeing it at the forefront. They're seeing all the problems, all the successes. And again, like you mentioned, they're learning from it. And they were spreading that information to their guests, which I found just so refreshing, but also just really, really humbling in a sense. Because being from a city and being so far removed sometimes from nature, and particularly places like the rainforest, it can be very isolating in your education because it can be very external. And then you realize that those that are really intertwined and integrated into it are probably the most knowledgeable in ways that you may not even expect, and should be lent on to really understand where we need to be focusing our work on. And on that note again, we'll be right back after this short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Our Altered World. I'm here with Claudia from Origins Eco Lodge. So we just briefly spoke about how Origins really integrates the local community into their workforce by both hiring locals, upskilling them right from the onset of the lodge's development, to continue proceeding within their learnings and skilling, whether it's cooks in the kitchen, to those that are working on the tours, to those that may be working as the maid servitors in the rooms. But I guess I really want to touch upon about how you feel this really has benefited the local community. And also, how do you think that the community's relationship with the rainforest has changed over time? Because I would love for you to tell the listeners how long Origins Eco Lodge has been around for, and how you've seen that relationship with the wider forest and the environment, biodiversity, etc., change over time.
Yes, correct. It's very important that you mentioned this, Neil, because of course, like, I think like tourism has a lot to do with it. I mean, if we think about a destination that has like clear objectives, you know, like, for example, we are located in a town called Bihawa, makes part of the canton of Upala, which is one of the biggest cantons. So to start with, you have to be very thoughtful about the size of your destination, you know, not only by Origins Lodge at, you know, the hotel itself, but also the relation that you have to have with the village. And, you know, with the rest of the community, which obviously they are doing their own tours, their own experience, because in somehow we have grown and there's a lot of potential to become a touristic destination. So, you know, little by little, we are educating the people, the families that they live there, that suddenly they woke up seeing that tourism is probably a best way to, like, found business, and not perhaps by having cattle raising, you know, or deforestation, you know. So they are like doing this change into their minds, but obviously by giving them clear objectives, like not to be like massive tourism. This is our principle number one in town, you know. Obviously respect our wildlife, because of course there are like a lot of different things that you can actually do and say that you are doing tourism. Maybe it's a or quad tour, which I think is not a good sign. We want to respect the flora and fauna, because we notice that there is an abundance of birds in the area, you know. So actually this takes us into really develop the destination by being a such an incredible bird watching spot, you know. So, you know, you have to take care that this relation between the wildlife and tourism creates an incredible, I mean, positive for an economical or an alternative, you know, of their economies in the families. But also, we really need to continue teaching families, all the people, the kids. We need to have, you know, an engaged, a compromise that if we explode this resource, like is our rainforest, then nobody will have actually a business because of this, right? So at the same time that we are like teaching people how to do a business of rural tourism, we really need to work hard with the NGOs that support those. There are like international NGOs in town that help us with programs, educating programs in the schools, and also, you know, working with the authorities and with the local government, and also with, you know, with the Ministry of Environmental, obviously, because there are national parks, and the national parks are there also with regulations and obviously better infrastructure. You know, it's again, you know, we need to work like in a team, you know. There's
100%.
Like, exactly, because one is the tourism, but what happens if these NGOs cannot support us?
Yeah, I would love for you guys to tell the listeners about something that I experienced when I was at the lodge. So we had a conversation and it was at the little breakfast bar, and you were telling me about how the tour operators in the local area sometimes are planting sloths. And that came up into conversation because we were on the lookout for a sloth that just showed up on a tree branch sometimes. And you said, oh, the guys that work behind the bar, they'll try and round up the guests and let them know that there's a sloth on the tree, because they naturally occur and they'll just happen to show up there. But you said there is a big abundant problem at the moment with tours being organized to go up very close to sloths that are often taken away from families and planted in certain areas for these regions. And you mentioned your work within the wider communities, within the municipal counties, trying to make these changes. You spoke briefly just now about making these education changes in schools so it works from the ground up. I'd love for you to just talk about the work that you've been doing there and what you hope it will achieve.
Yes, for sure. I have to tell you that obviously I represent as well the Chamber of Tourism in the area. So we are more than 40 businessmen and family-run business, which are incredible, that are really doing a great job. But also, again, you know, conservation, you know, is not only a matter to sell tourism, but also conservation. Yeah, one of these big challenges that we have now is really to, like you said, I think the number one priority here is really to educate the travelers as well. You know, like if we have travelers arriving in town and they are visiting, could be restaurants, could be the other hotels. We all need to be integrated into this conservation program, and we should be able to talk just like briefly points, you know, or maybe have a QR code where you can scan and you become into learn like the best natural practices, you know, and the good environmental practices against these animals, you know. It could be the sloths, it could be, you know, the tapirs. But I guess like if we all get together in this same thinking process or in the same, you know, objective, the tourism, you know, they will react positively because they arrive into a region trying to visit and trying to know everything. But believe me, the tourism are very humble. It's just a matter to let them know that you cannot get like closer into like, you really need to live at distance about probably 10 to 20 meters from a sloth that you see. You have to see it up on the trees, you know. It's not possible that you can see a sloth, you know, just 1 meter above, you know. So there are like little points that you actually will start like being your own, you know, professor interpreting, you know. Like I remember the guy telling me like, you should not do this, you know, like. And then everything becomes so naturally because if the tourists know these little things and the businesses owners as well, they are able to speak. And then, you know, the guide. And we have been doing this since probably 1 year already, you know, and trying just to educate and also the community, like you said, like we have done videos, you know, and there's now with the technology and the digital world, It's easier to get into all this. It doesn't matter if are like elderly people, kids, moms, you know, but because it's still our destination is not as huge. So it still is feasible and it still is manageable. But it's true that we really need to rely on these NGOs helping us with these conservation programs, you know, like taking more conscious about reforesting. The rivers, like along the rivers, we need to reforest a lot, you know, and this is like something that we have been doing with Vida Entre Volcanes, which is an incredible young leader, which actually are teaching all these kids, you know. So we are able to build this while the community is growing as well, while the tourism is also bringing a lot of, you know, visits into the area. So again, you know, this has to be being as a team player here. But little by little, we are securing this, you know, with the help of all the community and the tourism. Yeah, I mean.
But you know what? I would say that you're doing this amazing work with a lot of help, but you're also paying it forward. So, for example, your work with the Tapir Valley and bringing your guest over there for their tours and education. And I remember speaking to them on the ground and they were so grateful for the work that Origins were doing in connection with them and saying, they're bringing us all of these people that are really excited and willing to learn. They want to be here for the experience, but they also really want to know what's going on in this region. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, for sure. And I have to say that I admire very much Donald. Donald Varela is the owner of this Tapir Valley, which actually it's becoming a center of the tapir, but not only the tapir, but also a lot of other species and birds that actually is...
Donald actually discovered a new species, him and a wider team at the Tapir Valley.
Exactly. Just to give you this example, you know, he's a pioneer from town. Like he actually was born here. He grew up here and he's devoted, you know, to the conservation efforts. And the way how he has structured Tapir Valley is not only for the tourism, but it's like a school for students because he carries incredible programs about planting trees. Like, for example, planting the jicaro species. The jicaro tree is a tree actually from the Tapir Valley, which actually was in an endangered position in the forest. But I mean, he, with his contact and with his net of other people put in a lot of conservation efforts, he was able to plant so many jicaros trees with the kids, you know. So in the Tapir Valley, so he has a preserve from a lot of like thousands of acres down there. So the interaction that you can actually create with our guests, it's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, it's an incredible tour You go there, observe the tapir at night or the bird in the morning, early in the morning. It's just like following the steps. You don't bother these animals. You know, it's just to follow these guidelines, okay? So I think he has done an incredible job, like, honestly.
We've had such a great chat here today, Claudia. Thank you so much for joining me. I guess I just want to end on, I'd love for you to tell everyone what drove you into this industry personally, and where do you really want to see the future of sustainable travel go, whether that's in Costa Rica or beyond?
Well, yes, this is an incredible profession. A lot of rewards, you know, from the guests, you know, when you speak to them. I guess my passion is really to combine a nature and accommodations, you know. Like I told you, it's so humble, this profession, that you actually can create a lot of incredible things with the guests and the nature.
You guys are actually making an additional resort, from what I remember, right?
Exactly. We are trying to develop a sort of a chain of, you know, lodge chain in Costa Rica. So again, you know, for me, we really need to work very hard in conservations with the guests. But I see that here in Costa Rica or any part of the world, there are a lot of more and more conscious travelers that actually will travel only to learn and then go back when they belong, and they try to replicate the model, you know. So I think if we continue into this trend, into this adventure of teaching a little bit of what we are and what the relation of the coexistence of all this wildlife with the human being, I think more and more the world can change, you know, but for positive impact.
Yeah, education definitely doesn't have to be monotonous. It doesn't have to be actively through a book. You don't have to be watching documentaries. You can go out and experience it. And I think a really great thing about the expansion that you guys are doing at the moment, it will allow more guests to come and connect, and will allow you guys to have a lot of wider impact. What are the current dates that you're looking at when you hope to start opening the new lodge and welcoming new guests?
Yes, for sure. We are extremely excited and happy to announce that our second lodge called Astral Origins, I think we all opened their doors 1st November 2025. This is going to be more for families, you know, very interactive again with wildlife, but in a such a, you know, comfort way. But yes, Origins will grow through the years and in different communities that we know that definitely will help into, again, teaching them, having them as a workers. So actually, that's the core number one of Origins. So we are very happy to grow into this path.
That is amazing. And really unique about Origins is that you don't necessarily have to travel all the way to Costa Rica just to specifically stay at Origins the entire time. You can go there and have it as part of your experience and have that learning experience, have that connection with nature, and then move on to wider parts of your trip. And then, like Claudia said, hopefully you can leave with something, take that with you, and then bring it into your future travels and make that impact globally, which I think is really beautiful and kind of what we need more of. Every time I visit more and more eco lodges in different areas around the world, whether they're from humble roots, maybe a B&B, to all the way to luxury resorts like Origins, you can really see at the end of the day, it's a passion by people. And that's what we need. That's what we need. And that's what we connect with. But yeah, so why don't you just end a little bit on telling where the guests can find you, how they can connect, and where they can potentially book a stay at Origins if they want to visit and really connect with the rainforest in Costa Rica.
Yes, for sure. Please look onto our website, originslodge.com. You know, obviously our social net, like Instagram with Origins as well, you know, on Facebook. And obviously we have a blog as well. So please subscribe to our blog in our webpage so you can actually learn with us all these trends and things that are incredible for wellness and nature. And also, if you want to just email us to contact@originslodge.com, and we can obviously reply with all your questions or inquiries about reservations.
I will make sure that all the links to Origins are available on the UK Health Radio website under this particular episode. But with that said, thank you so much for listening to Our Altered World today. If you enjoy the show, I'd love for you to visit our website, ouralteredworld.com, where you can join our community and find more information on upcoming shows. You can also find some of my work on social media at Flunking Monkey, LUNKINGMONKEY. And until next time, I hope you have a great day. And thank you once again for Claudia for joining us.
Thank you, Neil. It was a very beautiful time with us, with you, Cherry.
Thank you, everyone. And I hope you have a great day ahead.